This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome
to My Favorite Murder,
the minisode.
It's mini.
It's tiny.
It's so tiny.
It fit in your pocket.
Oh my God. What's happening?
What is happening?
What's happening to us?
What is happening? We read your stuff at you. You know.
Minisode. That's Georgia Hardstart. Should we do this part?
KarenKilgariff.com. Don't give out my email address.
If you want to write to Georgia, it's .com.
It's GeorgiaHardstark@KarenKilgariff.com.
And please, please go to StephenRayMorris.gov to vote early and often.
You want to go first?
Let's do it. This the subject line of this is nurse/badass story.
Great.
Hey, pandemic pals. A few episodes ago, you guys asked for nurse mom stories. And while I'm not a mom, I am a nurse. Yeah. I work in a very busy ER in Houston. I have so many stories, but I thought you guys would appreciate this badass survivor story. Let's get into it. Early one morning, a woman was brought into the trauma bay after being held hostage, raped, and beat for almost 2 days. I can only imagine what this poor woman went through. On the second day, her attacker let her have some privacy and used the bathroom. While in the bathroom, the woman mustered up the courage to attempt to escape. She took the ceramic toilet tank lid and hid it behind her back. When her attacker opened the bathroom door, she hit him over the head with it, knocking him unconscious.
Starting out strong.
Holy
so
shit.
Good.
Mad props to the woman for having the bravery and wits about her to use a toilet lid as a weapon. Hell yes. She ran for her dear life, flagged down help on a nearby road, and was promptly brought to RER. A few hours later, another patient was brought into the trauma bay. This man had sustained numerous facial fractures after being hit on the head with, yep, you guessed it, a toilet lid. The attacker and the victim were in the same trauma bay, and neither of them had any idea. What are the chances? Houston is the fourth biggest city in America, and these two end up in the same ER in adjacent rooms.
What the fuck?
It literally says that next.
Good. That's correct.
This same thing happened in the British series with the Hawkeye and Gillian Anderson.
The blank. Yeah.
Hawkeye. So many
it's
people
called
are
called the Hawkeye and Gillian Anderson.
The Fall.
The
what?
The Fall. Yes, Stephen. Stephen gets $5. Remember that? That happened in The Fall.
I didn't see it.
He gets brought in, I'm pretty sure. And you see the victim watch him get rolled in. And I was like, never. That would never happen. Well, it did. I was wrong. Luckily, our charge nurse is amazing and put two and two together quickly. We were able to move the woman to a safe room in another part of the ER before she was further traumatized by seeing her attacker again. We obviously did not let her know that her attacker was in the same building. Can you imagine the sheer terror of escaping a brutal attack only to find out that your attacker is right down the hall? Thankfully, the woman was able to be discharged home later that day, and the man went to jail after we treated his injuries. Hope you guys like my survivor story as much as I do. Anyways, I love you guys. Your podcast has provided some much needed distraction during this pandemic. Wear your freaking masks, people. SSDGM Tiff.
Amazing, amazing. When would you not listen to a nurse? Okay. This one is called The Time My Grandma Saw the Devil.
Oh, yes,
and I'm not going to read you the rest of it. But it's from our friend of the family, Celine Beth Calderon, the Ted Bundy documentary friend who was on
stage.
I remember. She's awesome.
She's great.
She says, "Hey, y'all, since there's been a request for grandparent stories, I finally got all the information about the time my aunt and grandmother saw El Diablo walking past their home in Monterey Park, California.
Ooh.
In 1985, a man was terrorizing neighborhoods across Southern California and seemed to frequent the East Los Angeles area. As Georgia mentioned in her Zoot Suit Riot story, this part of Los Angeles was heavily populated by Latinos. One afternoon, my aunt and grandmother were doing some work in the garage and noticed a man walking past their house. My grandma said she froze and could feel evil radiating off of him. My aunt then looked up and felt the same feeling. She also claims a crow then cawed, but lol, I'm not sure on that one."
But clearly the whole family has cinematic tendencies, so they know how to tell a good story.
The crow was like, "Man, that guy is scary.
He's creeping me out, and I'm a crow."
Oh, God, right, guys? Hold on. While they could not figure out how and why this man could give us such a bad vibe, they continued on their work. The next morning on July 7th, one street over, Joyce Nelson, who was 61, was beaten to death in her home where she lived. This was the third murder in their neighborhood in under 3 months. A few months later, in my uncle's hometown of Boyle Heights, Richard Ramirez was captured by a mob of residents on August 31st, which is today.
Oh, this is the anniversary of the citizens of Boyle Heights rising up together and running through the streets and tackling Richard Ramirez.
That's right.
And catching the Night Stalker themselves.
On their own. Incredible.
Happy anniversary, Boyle Heights.
That's right.
Well, high five.
Five a Boyle Heights resident. While my uncle wasn't part of the capture, he still remembers seeing people fleeing to the scene.
Mm.
I grew up always hearing the story of when my aunt and grandmother saw El Diablo, but I always thought it was actually the devil himself. Growing up Catholic, you know?
Sure.
I didn't find out it was Richard Ramirez until I told my family I would be starting a project on Ted Bundy. With blank stares and confusions, my mother responded, "Why would you pick him and not Richard Ramirez?" We were all scared for our lives during that time. Come to find out, Ramirez killed in almost every single neighborhood that my family members lived in at the time. From Montebello to Mission Viejo, Whittier, Rosemead, Monterey Park, and finally ending his spree in Boyle Heights. Then I was finally given the context of the Diablo story, and just recently my aunt told me her version. So she always thought it was the devil. She didn't put it.
I was picturing a guy walking with a really nice... It's a bit Werewolves of London of me, but in a really nice sharkskin suit, but on little tiny hoof feet walking by.
Kind of hot. My grandmother Esperanza passed away in 2005, so I was never able to hear the full story from her. But don't worry, she played a big role in my interest in true crime since she purchased those super graphic Latino magazines that would show the most obscene content on the cover. Like when Selena was murdered and there was a picture of her on the autopsy table showing the gunshot wound.
No.
And she says, "Oh, the joys of a Latinx childhood." Anyway, stay sexy and make sure to search your family's history with well-known serial killers before you research the wrong one. Sending lots of hugs to you all during this. Friend of the pod, Celine Beth Calderon.
Oh,
good one, right?
Celine, nice. Yeah, Celine needs to make a documentary about Richard Ramirez
now. That's right.
Dedicated to Esperanza.
That's right, Esperanza. What a great name.
So good. Oh, man. I just love that story.
Yeah.
Of just like... they spotted him. They knew who it was. They were just
ran
like,
him down.
They're get like, that guy.
You're killing your neighbors.
Yes. You know? And terrorizing and like old people. Yep. I mean, just a horror show. Okay. This subject line is espresso martinis and a hometown hitman.
Fun.
What's up, guys? As a murderino and a bartender, the recent chat about espresso martinis finally gave me an excuse to email. The general recipe has equal parts vodka, coffee, liqueur, you were right, Georgia, and a shot of espresso. Mm. They combine all the fun of being drunk with the joy of having the caffeine jitters. They're super popular in Australia and New Zealand, so naturally the pretentious hipster bartenders think they're kind of trashy.
Mm-hmm.
On to my hometown. I'm from Canberra, a city with a nationwide reputation for being boring and small, but we have some pretty cool bars. There's a popular one in the middle of the city known for its fun tropical vibes. Think tiki drinks, palm leaves, and lots of hens parties. Yes. Recently, one of my friends was working there, and instead of the usual groups of young women in cocktail dresses, the bar was filled with big, burly, middle-aged men. But hey, no judgment. Scary-looking men are allowed to enjoy some sweet, sweet tiki drinks. Am I right? That's hell yeah, you're right.
That's right.
And now everyone has to go watch the Kids in the Hall sketch Girl Drink Drunk, which is one of the funniest. Okay. Dave Foley plays a girl drink drunk where you can't stop drinking like big blue things with pineapple sticking. It's the best. Okay. Later in the night, one of the men was standing in the bar when, cool, calm, and collectedly, another man walked up to him and stuck a knife in his throat. No scuffle, no provocation, just a straight up stabbing.
Holy shit.
The man who had been stabbed took a sip from his drink, pulled the knife out of his own throat. This is so Australian. And walked out into the street where he died in view of nearly every single person in Canberra trying to have a fun night out during COVID. Needless to say, so this just happened. Needless to say, all hell broke loose in the bar. Turns out, all these big burly men in the tiki bar were in fact two branches of a large, well-known biker gang. Mm. This says bikey gang, but I feel like Australian listeners, please let us know if you call biker gangs bikey gangs.
Or if they're in like a tricycle. What if like they call tricycles bikies? There are these big burly dudes in a tricycle
they're
gang.
Big burly fourth graders. The man who had very calmly cut the other man's throat was the hitman of the group. It's still a mystery as to why they went out drinking together just before a murder. So is why they chose to very publicly kill one of their members when usually they just, quote unquote, disappear. However, what we have found out is that tiki bars are a great way for gangs to launder money.
Oh.
Tiki bars specifically?
I mean, those are expensive drinks.
Yeah, that's true. You're like, how in God's name did you spend $680 at the tiki bar? Oh, tiki bar.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, all that pineapple. Thank you for all the quality entertainment over the years. As the only female bartender at my bar, the stories you've told have made me fiercely protective of my customers, particularly young women. If you ever see a Canberra bartender wearing an MFM logo pin, please know that you are in safe hands, and I might even buy you a drink. Ooh! Cheers, Alyssa.
Oh my God.
Did that get you?
Yeah. That's so sweet.
That got you in a good place?
It did.
I know. It's very sweet. I love that idea.
That's so good. And you know what? There's this podcast out right now about this woman whose father was in like Hell's Angels.
Oh.
And so I've been listening and like about a lot of biker stuff. It's really good. Hold on. Let me find out.
Is it called Bikey Gang?
It's called the Bikey Gang. Oh no, it's called Relative Unknown. It's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was great. You had two fucking hits so far.
I mean, I wrote them. I'm just giving Alyssa and her friends credit.
That was great. You ready for pervert story?
Huh. I mean, I'm long overdue.
Okay, this one's called The Kirkwood Tickler.
I'm sorry to laugh. It's not.
No.
Obviously. My reaction is this nervous. It's like, it's just so bizarre. These stories do not disappoint in the bizarreness of the fact that there are these errant
perverts,
one-off people that are just weirdo. They're criminals, but with a big serving of weirdo. Right.
Normally, we don't kink shame unless you're a sexual assaulter.
It has to be consensuality is the key to kink. You can't be a tickler, a one-sided tickler.
It's just not consensual Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Which does not exist.
Sorry. Hi, y'all. Oh, boy, do I have a hometown for you. Oh. I grew up in a town outside of Boston and come from a big family of massholes. My older sister attended Boston College, the Fighting Eagles, with their Jesuit agenda. And during her junior year, she decided to live off campus with some of her friends in an old house on Kirkwood Road. From 2011 to 2013, there had been several reported break-ins in the neighborhood, including many residential homes around BC's campus. Nothing was stolen. There were practically no traces left in any of the homes. However, in a few cases, it was reported that a dark figure was seen watching over men as they slept.
Oh.
In 2014, these break-ins escalated with up to 5 occurring in a night. With many BC students taking up residence on Kirkwood and the surrounding area, doors were frequently left unlocked. One night, many of the men living on Kirkwood, including some of my sister's neighbors and friends, reported similar break-ins, but with a twist. The shadowy figure instead stood over these men and in some cases tickled their feet.
No.
The criminal was then coined the Kirkwood Tickler and continued to strike across campus, targeting the feet of young men. After my sister graduated, there were no other reported run-ins with the Tickler. However, the hysteria of Tickler culture shook my sister and the students living on Kirkwood. The Tickler was never caught. Some say the ghost of the Tickler still haunts the area, and some students report supernatural or not sightings of the Tickler out of their bedroom window.
Supernatural.
Yeah, it's actually supernatural. Dude,
it couldn't be more real. It couldn't be more human.
Stay sexy and lock your doors, Julia.
Oh my, for real. So that is like the sister perv to, remember the Petaluma Tickler, mm-hmm. that my friend Audrey Crandall wrote in? That's same exact thing, but young girls.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the 2016 documentary Tickled, relates to this directly, I recommend it. It's a mind-blowing documentary because it starts one spot, and a friend of the fam, Dave Anthony and Gareth Reynolds, are featured because they did this story on The Dollop, which is it's a bizarre history podcast. If you've never listened to it, it's very funny. So those guys are great. And it's, you know, and then the stories are real. So Dave finds the most insane historical stories and then just kind of walks you through them. But they are actually in this documentary because they covered this story, and this reporter who is either, I think he was from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. He went and started investigating it and unraveled a thing that was so much bigger than the original point of the story. I swear to you, April Richardson and I went and watched this documentary. And when it was over, it was at remember the Sundance movie theater in the, on Crescent Heights.
The Sunset Five? No.
Yes. Yes, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
But then it later became, yeah.
Yeah.
So there was, I would say altogether, there was like 9 people in the theater to watch this documentary. And when it was over, we all turned to each other. Like the whole audience turned to each other and went, what the fuck? Like we all started talking to each other because it was that mind blowing and
all
that
about
like,
it. Yeah.
So if you haven't seen Tickled, it's from 2016. Highly recommend that documentary.
It's so good.
It's so funny. We did this last night, too. Constantly making a list of things people watched and said they liked because we're always looking for stuff to watch and media
bored.
To consume.
So bored. We've watched everything.
Watched it all.
Watched it all.
Okay. Well, that's a new one. If you have you seen that documentary? Did you watch it?
I saw it years ago. I completely forgot about it.
Yeah.
Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com.
Goodbye.
Okay. This last one is the subject line is postal worker. Because I think we called out for, if you're a postal worker, tell us weird stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, MFM crew. I'm a postal worker and I thought I'd share a couple of stories from the processing side.
Okay.
First of all, we are the biggest shipper of drugs in the country. You're welcome. We all know those coffee beans and packages are hiding weed. Props to the ones that straight up send weed without any concealed scent. Oh, you've got some balls.
My God. Oh, my.
People just putting weed in a box and putting some tape on it and giving it to the mailman.
Amazing.
While I was a clerk, one of the funniest parts of my 12-hour day, 6 days a week, was when jail mail came through. Ladies, whoever is taking those pics of you is a good friend, and we've seen parts of you not meant for public viewing. Mm-hmm. Remember not to overstuff the envelope. It gets caught in the machines, and your bits and pieces are out there for the whole post office to see.
Oh, no.
So
people sending
in. It's like, hey, you know, you need, this is what you need when you're inside.
Yeah.
But then if the envelope's too thick.
There's too many photos in there. There's just too many angles.
Pick three of your favorite.
Yeah.
One of the worst things to happen was when someone sent a fecal sample in an envelope and it jammed in my machine.
No.
Someone's shit was everywhere and I vomited in the trash can. What the fuck?
Oh my God.
Listen, If you're mailing in your ballot this election, mail early. Don't take chances. Your new voting date is October 20th, not November 3rd. Make sure your vote gets counted. We have election coordinators in every district in the country. We're working diligently to make sure ballots and election mail get clear every day. Go buy some sweet stamps or merch and clean off your porch, steps, sidewalk for your carrier. I never thought about that.
That's right.
There's mail carriers who have to run gauntlets of people's garbage and bullshit to get to deliver mail. I never thought about that. Stay sexy and don't forget to seal that envelope of naughty pics. B.
Amazing.
I love
exactly that. That's what we wanted. I love it.
Good inside information.
So good. Love the voting info as well.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much for that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay. My last one is Hero Cat Saves the Dog. Sup, y'all. A long time ago, you asked for Hero Cat stories, and I finally worked up the ambition to actually send this in. My in-laws moved to a Rocky Mountains foothill neighborhood outside of Albuquerque just over 10 years ago. The house came with a cat flap, which they assumed was for a cat the previous owners had had. Nope. Turns out the flap was installed specifically for the common cat that nobody owned, but everyone took care of.
Oh.
He had toys, beds, food bowls, and a different name in every house in the neighborhood.
I love those cats. Neighborhood those cats. Are the
best. Tabby,
right? Is it Tabby?
It's gotta be, right?
Must be.
My in-laws called him Meowie because he liked to talk a lot. He said Meowie without the E. So Maui. He liked to talk a lot. It took him all of one day to come in and climb all over my highly allergic father-in-law, who quickly became his favorite person.
Aww.
My in-laws took him to the vet and tried to make him an indoor cat, but he was having absolutely none of it. Instead, Maui came and went as he pleased, spending most of each week with my in-laws, made friends with their dog, Brady, and went for family walks in the foothills every single day, meowing the whole time. I love cats so much.
And as he was meowing, what he was saying is, I love this. It's so great to get outside. You guys are fun. There's two other families that never leave the house.
You guys get the good cat food. That's why I like you the best.
I'm hanging out here.
One day on their regular walk, Maui did something he had never, ever done before. He started growling. He crouched down with his hackles fully raised, staring intently at a bush about 10 feet away, and made this terrifying, low growling hissing noise. Now, this is an off-leash area, and Brady was wandering close to that bush. The way Maui was acting totally freaked my mother-in-law out, and she called the dog back. The second the leash clicked on Brady's collar, Maui made the most blood-curdling yowling noise and charged at the bush where a, and this is all caps, fully grown bobcat had been hiding.
Whoa!
Maui, a 9-pound semi-stray house cat, chased this 30-plus pound bobcat over 100 feet, then came prancing back like the little king that he was.
Oh.
Save the dog, because he would have gotten the dog because he wasn't.
Yeah, he would.
Maui lived for another 5 years or so after this, getting spoiled with cans of wet food. The older he got, the more he stayed with my in-laws until he was basically an indoor cat at their place. He passed away peacefully in my father-in-law's favorite chair, which they still call the Maui chair.
Oh.
Stay sexy and invite the neighborhood cat in for some wet food. It might just save your dog. Rosie.
Yes. That is the cutest.
No, I love it.
Could we please have pictures of Maui? Could we please just see him?
Oh, what if they sent us a picture and it's a bobcat? And we're like, oh.
guys, they were relatives. They were having a family quarrel. There was no, that's the best. Also, I love those kind of cats that follow you when you walk,
yeah,
and don't like flip out and don't go other places or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that's that weird. Because cats aren't pack animals. So when they do stuff like that, it's like,
because they like you. That. It's because they legit like you.
And they know that you're dipshits that'll walk right by a bobcat bush as if that's your right and privilege when it's not.
Watch your back from bobcats.
What a good patch this week. What a good batch. The word is batch.
Patches of batches. Real good ones.
What's the word you guys said last night?
Your niece and I. What was it? When she was
stranglers.
Yes. She was trying to say stragglers.
Yes.
And so she goes stranglers. And I go, no, I think you mean, what did I say?
No, you go, oh, no, it is stranglers. And then I was watching you guys talk about it. And then I finally, like, waited for you to be done. And I was like, It's stragglers.
It's me and this 13-year-old, and I'm telling her the correct word, and I'm totally wrong. And then Karen turns to us and goes, and just tells us in the most straight voice. It was very embarrassing.
Yeah, that story about those seventh grade girls that you guys were talking about, they weren't stranglers. They were stragglers.
It was so in character for me. It was almost like, that wasn't a joke. We socially distanced hang. It was fun.
Oh, it was nice.
It was so nice.
Yeah, because my family came down as global warming refugees because Northern California is on fire, and where they're from, they have fires above, below, and east of them. So there was a smoke dome over Petaluma, and then the smoke dome fell when the fog came in. So Laura was like, we were just inhaling ash and bits of, they're just coughing, and it was terrible. So they came down here to Los Angeles where the air is clear.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Bizarre. And hung out for a week. It was super fun.
I love it. We had so much fun last night.
It was great.
Thanks for writing those in. Send more, guys. MyFavoriteMurder@gmail.com or on our website. Yeah. Send them there. We love them. You're the best.
We appreciate it. Stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Goodbye.
Elvis, you want a cookie?